Wise Wild Women, and I'm your host, Jenna Carlesson, with Teresa Jeanette Thurman Morris. And today we have a special guest, Jeanette Lucas, and we're going to be talking about her psychic detection skills. And she has been working with police and other people, finding missing persons, both deceased and alive. And she's been featured in print and broadcast media for her various work on homicide cold cases. Anyway, she's going to tell us all about herself. This is part two. We did part one last week, so we highly recommend that you go back and listen to part one, and because we just ran out of time last time, and we were having such a great time. So before I bring on Jeanette Lucas, I'm going to bring on Teresa J. Morris, and I think I've got the right number. Here it is. Let me click her on.
Hey.
Aloha, TJ. Hi.
Aloha, Hawaii. Hi, Hawaii. Oh. This is Gulf Breeze. So we're
Gulf
in the panhandle.
We're
in the panhandle, and it's a little chilly here in Florida today, but just usually beautiful. It's a beautiful, sunny day. So glad you could contact me, and I'm looking forward to working with you today and in the future on all radio shows. This is still 2020, right? So we look forward to working together.
Yeah, we got a couple more weeks of 2020, and then this may go down in history for most people as the worst year yet. But I'm sure people have other things happen that are hard. As Jeanette knows, she helps. Please turn that off. Leave your cell phones at the door. Okay. I like the ringtone, though. That's very good. Anyway, TJ she has Teresa J. Morris, or TJ Morris ET Radio, and I have Aquarian Radio. So we're going to be recording this and uploading it over to our two different platforms, and then it goes through to Spreaker. We both have Spreakers, and then they're kind of like, funnels out to, you know, a couple dozen different, platforms like iHeart and all kinds of things. And then eventually we put it both up on both of our YouTube channels. So this is going to get wide distribution. Anything you want to say before I bring on Jeanette?
I'm looking forward to getting to know. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
I'm looking forward to knowing Jeanette and
working with her in the future, and hopefully 2021 will bring us all together. But I'm glad that we're having a Woman's Wednesday, Janet, and I think it's a good idea. And we have a lot in common, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her a lot more. So I'm just looking forward to hearing Jeanette's story and her future books. So thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to click on her mic and welcome her to the show. Aloha, Jeanette. It's good to have you back again. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. And you too? Both doing good?
Pretty good. It's still hot here, but I like it. At night, it gets down where you can put a blanket on. I love it when it's blanket weather. I sleep better, I think, because I'm from Pittsburgh. But where are you coming from, Jeanette? What part of the world are you located in?
Well, right now I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm moving back to the D.C. area. I'm definitely talking to you from Richmond, Virginia area. But it's cold. It's probably 30 degrees outside.
It's
too cold.
Winter is upon us. Winter is upon us, yes. Now, do you remember what I'd like to do in the show today, and TJ and I talked about this briefly earlier, is we'll have you finish up your story, and then we want to go and, like, ask each other questions and mix up our voices and get to know each other. So we're going to, you know, go back and forth. You can ask us questions. We can ask you questions. We can ask all three of us a question, certain question, you know, what do you think about, and insert. So let's start with, and TJ, you knew where we left off last week, right? Where did we leave off?
Yeah. I was wanting her to, we left off with her going to tell us about, she and I both had a dream or premonition, or she worked more than I did on it, but she's worked on several cases. I was an investigator, but she I didn't do my psychic investigation like with the way she does. So I want to get to know how she does work. But I had Casey's Anthony daughter, Kaylee, visit me in a dream. So since Janet and maybe a lot of other people don't know what I'm talking about, let Jeanette tell her story.
Who is this person you're talking about? Who is this person you're talking about, and why would she visit you in a dream? Tell us her backstory. Is this a dead person? Something that was...
Teresa, do you want me to tell her?
Yeah, please, Jeanette. Tell her, because you did a lot of work on it, and I just had this little baby visit me in a dream and tell me where she was buried and showed me a vision out in, in the woods. So, but you got to hear the story. It's very long drawn out, and it made television. But she knows about it, and she Jeanette, you tell them the story, please.
So
what year was it?
Oh gosh, I think it was 08, I think. Okay, don't quote me. All right, so in about April, May of, don't quote me the year, but at least a woman was partying. At the time she was partying, she left her little girl with her parents. Her little girl was probably two. Her name was Kaylee Anthony, and the girl that was partying was Casey Anthony. And that's where you get some confusion. So it's Kaylee and Casey. So Casey was the mom. And Casey was running all around. I mean, I understand the partying, but in Florida, they did have a lot of weird, dangerous drugs, highly addictive, and highly, I want to say they caused tremendous confusion in your head. And so she got up. I don't think it was crack or anything. I think it was some other kind of drug. And she got in with some very suspicious characters. And, you know, every night was a party. And eventually one day she took her daughter out and partied. And supposedly she said somebody took her daughter. And she went into this long, drawn-out story about the daughter. And typically in a crime case, if the story keeps going and going and going and going, it's typically a very suspicious case. Normally a case is cut and dry. My daughter was abducted. I suspect it was this guy, A, B, C, D, and you're done. But this woman kept saying it again and again. And so I think because of her drug addiction from pot to whatever else, she had a lot of confusion going on in her own head at the time. And so she somehow rented a car because I guess her car broke down. I'm not sure the whole story. And when she brought the rental car to a parent's house, her mother went out there to go see if her granddaughter was in the car, little Kaylee. And she opened the trunk of the car, and it smelled like a body. And the only reason that she knew about bodies is the grandmother was a nurse, and she knew about decomp. And she asked her daughter about it, and her daughter said, "No, Mom, that's the old pizza that's rotten in the back of the car." You can't fool a nurse. It's very typical to fool a nurse. So she called the police, and she told them, "I'm looking for my daughter. She's missing. My daughter... I'm missing my granddaughter, Kaylee, and my daughter, Casey, says she doesn't know where she is. She said the nanny took her." So long, drawn-out story. The story just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, if you lie one time, you're going to lie another time. So eventually they tried to hunt down the nanny, The nanny didn't have the little girl, and she called her Zanny the nanny. But I believe she was at a complex, apartment complex, where Zanny the nanny was living, and she heard the name Zanny, so she grabbed the name Zanny just to throw in the story to give it authenticity. And so the police couldn't find the woman, and they asked Casey, "Where do you work?" And she goes, "I work over here." And I guess she didn't believe the cops were going to follow her to work and double-check on where she worked, and she tried to show stability, but she didn't have stability. And she hadn't worked at the office that she took him to in like 2 years or 2 months or something like that. And I'm vague on the details because I've moved on from it. So In time, they kept interviewing the mom, meaning Casey Anthony. And in time, a lawyer got involved to represent her. And also a private investigator got involved to represent her to find her little girl. And I'm not quite sure what she said to the PI or to the lawyer, but she either told him the truth, which I doubt, or she just kept giving a story after a story after a story. And the media took hold of it and ran with the story, and it went all around the world. Because here's this little two-year-old who was precious because her pictures got out, and everybody's like, where's the baby? Where's the baby? Where's the baby? Because a lot of times when it gets killed by a relative, you know, it's buried in the backyard. It's buried at grandma's house. It's buried here. It's buried there. I mean, they tend to find them. They find the link that might be connected to the missing child. Well, they never found the missing child. So during the next month or so, I got a call from a man out of Winchester area, Virginia, and he was going to my father to take lessons in dowsing, which I use dowsing for pinpointing missing people. And he said, I really want to, he went to my father, he goes, I really want to locate missing people. So I worked with him for a while, and he sent me in the mail flyers on his supposed nonprofit he was putting together. So I kept all those details. I kept all his notes because he said I made it up. Well, guess what? I have all that in my file folder. And because I'd already been through it before with where I had some very suspicious characters come forward and say things. And so he asked me to finally locate where missing Kaylee was. And I said, well, she's down the street from the house at a house where it's abandoned, lots of grass, and so forth. And everybody that talked to me kept saying, that's not possible, not possible. So you do run into roadblocks, all right? And because you keep getting these roadblocks, the story just kept getting more and more media attention. And during the process, they, I guess someone or lots of psychics stepped up and volunteered to work on the case and try to pinpoint where the little missing girl was. Well, and at that time, I had children of my own, and I was very busy with all my work and being a mommy and taking care of my own life. And then they kept bugging me, and I finally told them again, she's right down the street and so forth. So they didn't want to hear it. So I worked on other cases with this particular person, Luke, O-U-K-E, Phillips. And oddly enough, in time, a telephone repairman was over where the body was and said he smelled a body. He told a cop in the month of August. So we went from, like, May, June, I guess, to August. And they never followed up on what I said. And he kept saying, I smell a body. Well, it has a distinct odor. And so the cop, he told that there might be a body there. The police officer never followed up. So that went by the wayside.
Wow.
And then in time, because it was such a national case, I mean, when I say national case, I really feel bad for the family because I would bet there was at least 100, maybe 200 people in front of their house, supposedly, chanting, bugging them, harassing them. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was really overboard. And again, it was the real factor was all these people were upset about a little missing girl. And what's the answer? So unfortunately, this happens frequently when people are not responsible. So during the process, I said to Luke Phillips, and I had met the PI, and his name was Dominic Casey. And I said, send me something from the little one that I can pinpoint more details on. So they sent me a teddy bear in the mail. And oddly enough, I start having dreams. But then Teresa tells me she started having dreams, which I wonder when those dreams started because I got the teddy bear. And the dreams started about a week or two after I got the teddy bear. And I really felt like little Kaylee was very intuitive. And I felt like she was deceased. And I felt like she had died from probably suffocation. There was the mother was alluding that she drowned in the swimming pool. That's very possible because I couldn't feel anything, which meant to me typically suffocation or something to that something in that direction, which would be swimming or either someone put a pillow over your head or either she was two and she had too many blankets around her. She suffocated. So that's my take. Now, Teresa can add on to it. A lot more occurred after I came into the storyline. So, Teresa, what did you dream? You said you had little Kaylee came into your life in a dream, and Teresa told me that she had a relative by the name of Haley. So the link is there. And then on top of it, Teresa's pretty intuitive too. So go ahead, Teresa. What's your take on what you were picking up?
Well, it had to be 2005. Did you cite the?
I can't hear you.
Up on computer. Can you hear me?
I
can now.
Say it again, Teresa. You broke up. Say it again. You broke up.
Okay. My mother was alive, and that's Janet. I don't know if Janet was in my life. So this head mother came to take care of me when I had my neck broke. So 2004, three and four. And then I don't know when this happened. I would think between 2005 and seven. But Janet, you can look it up, Casey Anthony case. But
okay,
I haven't
I'm
seen anything. Yeah, I've not. It's Casey Anthony or.
I'll look it up.
What's funny is this little girl somehow caught my eye with Jeanette. Now, to answer Jeanette's question, my mother had time to watch TV more so than I did, even though I was hurt and in pain. I don't know why I didn't do much TV. I don't remember doing much of anything. I guess when you're sick and broken, I broke my back and neck. So anyway, mother told me about this little girl because she had the same name as my granddaughter and was roughly the same age, I think within 8 months. I have a granddaughter named Kaylee, and they were roughly the same age in Florida. And she said, in your granddaughter in Florida with Steph. I was like, yeah. And I don't know why it was came to me. I would like to figure this out, but she came to me in a dream, and I had told Mom that, Mom, you know how you have, psychic dreams about airplanes and stuff, but it was a big deal because it was on the news, and Mother was all emotionally involved in following the case. I guess I think they watched Nancy Grace. I think is what Mother watched. Nancy Grace had the case. But anyway, I wasn't into it. I wasn't into anything at the time, Janet. I wasn't doing shows, and it was before. Let's see, it's after I broke my back and neck. Mother was there, so it was in Kentucky. I remember where I was when I had the dream because we bought our home, and I remember being in my office. I had a master bath and a second bath and two extra rooms, and one was office. But I have a vision during the day after she had come to me in a dream. So I don't know. That's why, Janet, you'll have to look it up. But
when, yeah, I'm looking it up. Let me give you a little background. So Kaylee was born. Yeah, Kaylee was born March 19, 1986, and so this was in August 9, 2005. So she was killed in 2008.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, Mother. All right. Well, then Mother had already left and gone to Houston. Was talking to me on the phone. So that's why I can see myself in my office during the daylight on the phone with Mother, because Mother moved, I think, November 2007 back. She went back to die in her old home, which was the family on the plantation in Richmond and Pecan Plantation on the golf course. Mother wanted to go back to her big home, and she'd been there with me and married and had a little bitty house like I'm in, little small two-bedroom house, one bath. But so while she was with me in Kentucky is when we had this emotional psychic connection to me and Mother. But she apparently it was still going on when she moved to back home to Texas, because what year did she, I guess the case started in two, what does it say, the death of the baby?
She died in 2008. She was reported missing on July 15, 2008, and so She had been missing for 31 days.
It was during the summer. Well, it was during the time that
it
had already been reported. It had caught Mother's attention, and Mother was talking to me about it on the phone. But I had told Mother, she had told me about it, and for some reason, and Mother and I didn't talk that much about anything, especially psychic stuff. But Mother had handled some calls, Janet, which you can appreciate, from Stanton to Friedman, because we talked on the phone a lot. And I had just in 2007 done that wife swap in 2007, or the first of 2008, right in that same time. So Mother had me on the mind with doing television show for ABC Television, a wife swap, being a psychic. And then Stanton Friedman was calling me about the UFO stuff out of Canada and Majestic 12 and all that. So that's why, because Mother would normally never talk to me about this stuff, because she never did in my whole life. I just remember when she was a kid, she'd come out and talk about planes falling. So that's why this is really an enigma for me with Jeanette, because it links me to Mother and my granddaughter and something in the ephemeris. But what happened was, Mother and I were I said, Mother, that the little Kaylee, because I had emotional connection to her with my granddaughter, but it was somehow Mother got to my emotions with it about being in Florida, close to the same age. You see, my Kaylee now is 13 or 14, so she was born about the same time, 2007 or 2008. Well, anyway, they were roughly 2 years. So you get the emotional drama. So that connection was, I had a granddaughter by the same name, Kaylee, living in Florida. But I guess that's what made her come to me, because I don't know about the teddy bear or anything Jeanette did, but because I had that dream, I discussed it with Mother, because she was into the case, and Mother wanted me to, because Mother was never interested in me doing anything psychically. She'd say, you know, I don't believe in UFOs, but she had that psychic ability, but she never understood me and didn't know about psychic stuff with me or any of my stuff in Hawaii or any of that. So it made me closer to my mom. So there's something going on in emotions with my granddaughter and my mother and that story.
So when Kaylee came to you in a dream, when Kaylee
she was dead.
Came to you in a dream.
It wasn't 5 to 7 days. She was dead. She told she didn't say kill me. How did she say it? She came in a dream, and I could envision and see her, and she came to me in a dream and told me, talking to me like Michael Jackson would come to you, because you see dead people. But she was, came to me in a dream and showed me as clear as day as daylight. She showed me during the day, and it was in the woods. And when I saw it later on, Mother, or somehow, I don't know how, later on, because I sent my, while they were looking for her, Mother told me, why don't you try to tell that lady, Nancy Grace, because Mother knew that she had dreams, but she said, go ahead. So I didn't even know who Nancy Grace was, believe it or not. But somehow a lady at the Beaver Dam Cafe or somebody put it on the TV down there, something. I remember going to the Beaver Dam Cafe and seeing the show, and they said, that's that Nancy Grace that, you know, your mom was telling you about. Because I was going, who's Nancy Grace? So somehow that all got put together. I emailed it to Nancy Grace. I never heard back from her, so I let it go. But the vision, it was a dream where she came and told me my mom killed me. My mom, how did she say it? My mommy, she didn't say my mommy killed.
I can't hear
her. There, Teresa. Teresa, we just lost you. Okay. Jeanette, well, get back to you while we try to figure out what's going on with Teresa.
Sure.
Okay, so how did they find her?
So I was on the phone with the PI, who really wasn't a PI. He went under the licensing of the lawyer, and he went out in the field after I called him. And I said, go to this location. You know, I gave very specific directions. And I said, I see a Suburban there, and I see a little white dog there, and I see a big black Suburban, just Suburban. And I said, I see a bunch of trees, and she's right in there in the trees. But when you get there, you're going to see a house that is abandoned, and you're going to see grass really high because it was an abandoned house, foreclosed on. And first I want you to take a rod, stick it in the ground, make sure she's not right next to the house. And I want you to look for some wide pavers the size of your hand. So I said, spread your hand out, and it looks like three pavers are together. And I said, when you see that, keep going, and you might be able to smell the remains, but keep going, and walk into the woods, and then you'll see parts of her because she's not sitting on the curb. She's in the woods, and the animals have torn her apart. So she's been deceased for a while. And so, yeah, it was June 2008. And I guess he went in the woods, and the tragedy was that when he was in the woods, Florida has some dangerous snakes. And he said snakes were going across his boots and going around his leg. And, you know, that's uncomfortable. So I said, get in there, find her. She's right there. And I actually smelled her, which is a thing called synesthesia. And so the psychics who have that have synesthesia, like my friend Angela Ford or Maureen Seberg or Heidi Hollis, a lot of us that have that talent can see colors and numbers and sense or smell a victim or smell something odd. So I didn't yell at him. I kept saying to the PI, get in there. She's right there. And I guess he just couldn't handle it emotionally. And he came back out of the woods, and he goes, no, she's not there. And I said, yes, she is. She's right there. You've got to get back in there. And he stopped everything, and he went back out to he was with a friend who was a PI. And at one time I was a PI, and I had lectured for the Association of Florida Private Investigators. And he said, oh, I'm here with so-and-so, which I believe I'd met him before, and he's another PI, and he had a decent reputation. And I guess, hold on, sorry, they left, but apparently they were in a black Suburban, and it turns out the street they were on was called Suburban Street. I said they were too far from an elementary school, and there was an elementary school down the street. And there is some confusion. People said I said a fence and this and that. And I said I never mentioned a fence. I mentioned Suburban. I mentioned the three pavers. Nobody else gave me the information. I did it all by myself. And, yes, the child came to me and told me where she was, but I also picked it up with intuitive abilities, and it just is what it is. I think if people want to read more about some of the psychics who have this weird ability, synesthesia, you can pull up Maureen Seberg, I believe it's B-U-R-G, and she writes for a lot of people, and she writes about synesthesia. And so I have these weird talents to pick out a street name, like Angela Ford, who worked for Stargate. Some of us have a lot of similarities. And then
what happened? Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yes, you're back.
I don't know how long y'all have been talking. All this time, I don't know what
we
did
could not
hear.
Hear you.
Nope. What happened?
Nope, we couldn't hear you. I don't know. You stopped.
Well, I'm sitting here talking at my phone. Well, what did you hear? Anything that I said? Or
we heard what was about. We were talking about what did Kaylee say to you, and you said it wasn't. She didn't say she was killed. What did Kaylee say to you, Jeanette? He said she talked to you. What did Kaylee say?
She showed me visions. Did you hear about the visions she showed me?
No, we didn't. Go ahead.
No. Well, let me get what Jeanette said.
Okay.
Let me get what Jeanette was told, and then we'll go back to you, Teresa. So what did Kaylee say to you?
Yeah, so typically I don't extend myself into homicide unless I really want to. And I did not, she did not tell me who killed her. She just said, I'm deceased, and I'm over here, and I'm wrapped in a laundry bag. And I got the impression there were two laundry bags that she was wrapped in, and she was taken out of the house in a laundry bag, like a bunch of laundry, and then buried over near this abandoned house. And then she just mentioned she was deceased. So because I kept seeing the Suburban, which was Suburban Street, the PI just did not finish the follow through. So I decided to call Fox News and say, this needs to be over with. I said, this is ridiculous. she's over there. And I told the lady where she was. And I said, and I didn't know the lady was really anti-psychics or just basically rude and insulting with my work. She went out and tracked a bunch of people that said nasty things about me, which was not true. And then it turns out that what I said became true. So the child did not tell me who killed her. She just gave the location. So that's where I am. And then Teresa got more information. But I did have a dream, and I did have visions at the same time, the combination. And let's hear what Teresa dealt with.
Well,
Teresa, go ahead.
Well, I remember, I don't know if y'all, I was trying to tell you that Mother was, you know, emotionally had this connection about Kaylee being in Florida and being a granddaughter in the same age. So y'all heard that part, right?
Yes, we got that part.
All right. And then she talked to me, but she talked to me in a lucid dream where she came like a ghost, but she showed me a vision of her in the back of the car, but she was covered like with a blanket. But she let me know, Mommy, she told me, Mommy, she didn't say kill me, though. She said, she gave me the impression in my head that it was an accident, that her mother would, like, drug her or something, I guess, to go into the party place. But she pretty much gave me the impression that her mother drugged her and left her in the back of the car. You know how some kids get killed in the back of the cars, but I don't know if she, the vision the little girl showed me was in the back seat of the car with a blanket covered up, but that I think her mother moved her to the back of the car and left her there a few days because I was getting the connection. But when she came back a second time, but it was really odd because it was a day, I'm talking to my mother on the phone about it, and I'm in my office in my home, and she showed me across the highway. She showed me a highway and a big long ditch. It was a big ditch, and not a ditch, it's like a, it was sort of a ditch. It was, you walk off of the road, and she showed me, I mean, I could see within a, like a vision, a square, I don't know if it's, you said block or circle, but I could see where it was, and it was a day. It was during the day when she showed me. It was a cloudy, cloudy, sort of a rainy, overcast, gray day. And she showed me where she was buried, and it was there was trees and bushes, and I could see it. And I knew if I went down there, I could find it. But all I, you know, I told Mother, and she said to get in touch with Nancy Grace, and because I guess that's who was doing the case at the time. Mother watched it on TV. But I emailed Nancy Grace about it, and this, that told her that I had a dream, and, you know, that whatever she said to me at the time, my mother, she didn't say kill me, I don't think. My mom killed me. What did she say? I can't remember now. But she did tell me and showed me where she was. But she showed me the vision of, you know, her being in the back of the seat. And I think her mother gave her drugs. In my vision from the little girl or in my lucid dream, that she, the mother did it on the accident is the way the little girl made me think. So I think her as a person that's been on the other side. You know how angel or her guide will, I tell people in this reality that their guide talks to my guide because I don't know how to explain it to them. But people on the other side, if you've been on the other side, it's like you have a gift. And so they call us psychic mediums because we can talk to ghosts or people that don't know they're dead on this planet. Janet does. But we tend to get people that are emotionally attached to us somehow. They can find us.
Mm-hmm.
So that part intrigues me about Jan. Now I'm talking to someone else. And it was the word Casey. The little girl somehow, I said, brought me to Jenny or Jenny to me. So I don't know what that's about. So did you, I didn't hear your part somehow. I guess I was talking. I thought y'all were listening to me. So this is going to be a crazy show. I have to go back and listen. I always go back and listen to our shows. But
okay, well, let's go on to the next thing. So how did they finally find her? Was it? I got confused.
Well,
we're going back and forth.
Okay, so this is Jeanette speaking. So basically when I called the news reporter, they went down there and they took police down there and they started finding body parts. And when I say body parts, I'm talking about bones. I got the impression, I mean, you know, they might have taken dogs down there and that kind of thing, but Dominic Casey did not disclose all the details. He was letting the media run with it, and he wanted it to continue, in my mind. It's one of those things where.
Well, let me read what was said here. Let me read what was said here. On December 11th, 2008, they found 2-year-old Kaylee's skeletal remains they were found with a blanket inside a laundry bag in a wooded area near the Anthony family's house. That the investigative reporters and trial testimony said there was duct tape found near the front of the skull and on the mouth of the skull. And the medical examiner mentioned duct tape.
But I think that's fabric. Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
So that's what's in Wikipedia. We don't know.
We don't know all the details. You know, a lot of people say things and it's misinformation, and I think it definitely clouded the judgment on certain details about the facts on the case, which was destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had.
So, did they ever convict
anybody?
No. Did anybody go to jail for this? Okay. Death by undetermined means is what it says in Wikipedia.
Right. Here's what happened.
So, it's in Wikipedia. Whoa.
Yeah.
And there's some weird.
The Florida law is that what Janet?
Yeah, what? Janet?
Go ahead, Janet.
One thing is the Florida law was that you had to prove that she did it, and because they couldn't prove that she did it, she got off scot-free. Now, if it was an accident, so be it. But all she had to do was come out and say, "Hey, it was an accident," or "This happened," or "That happened." But she wasn't going to say a word. She had representation, legal representation, that told her to shut her mouth because everything was supposition. And so she got off. I mean, I'm okay with it because basically she was in jail for a little bit, and it might have been 2 years off and on, and people were sending her money to be supportive of her. I mean, she was eating lobster here and there because if you give the jailhouse money, you get to eat better, but I'm not going to say to you, I don't think she killed her daughter. I think it was either a contributing factor. I don't think it. I do want to say the word negligence was certainly an altering effect, but you know you can't change the past. But they could not prove she did it, so that was the outcome. You know, you're stuck. All right.
Well, I've always had the impression that the little girl was telling me the truth, that her mother gave her some drug her and go to party or dance or stay at her boyfriend's or something. I think she loved the little girl, but she was negligent. So I never heard she did drugs or anything, and I didn't hear what happened or what happened to the case or the people. I just know the little girl's side because as a psychic, which I wasn't trying to be, but something emotionally touched me about mother telling me I had a little, you know, in it sad about the little girl in Florida, Kaylee. I said, what are you talking about? So mother's the one that told me about it. And I wasn't trying to be a notoriety seeker or any of that kind of stuff. But for some reason, you know, it touched mother. And when I had the dream and the revisitation, I had two. I do remember that. So whatever happened back that time, I wrote down most of it. Or some of it. I'm pretty sure it was a long email. I sent it to Nancy Grace. But the thing was, nothing came up what I saw. But the thing was, I had to tell somebody, according to mother, because what if I was telling the truth? But I guess it doesn't matter now. But, you know, that you're visited. And I wasn't a practicing. I didn't have a shingle out then. Of course, people knew to find me and would come to my house and have readings. At the time, you know, from
let me ask Jeanette one more question on Kaylee. There's a picture here that shows Kaylee with all her stuffed animals, and she's got two teddy bears.
All right.
Well, but do you still have the teddy bear?
No, I had to send that back. So I was asked to send it back to Luke Phillips, and from Luke Phillips, it went back to Dominic Casey.
Do you know what color the teddy bear was? The dad?
I can't hear.
Now let me finish the teddy bear conversation. Do you know what color the teddy bear was? Because there's two teddy bears.
It was a light brown.
Yeah, there's a light brown one, and it looks like a yellow suit or costume. It's a light brown head and a yellow. I guess it's wearing something yellow. Very interesting. Okay, so they actually have the teddy bear here, and I put it on the website if people want to go look at this case. I put the Wikipedia with some pictures of her. An absolutely adorable little girl. I remember now seeing the picture. I remember she had big brown eyes, and she was very angelic looking, very cute little girl. Yeah.
Very
cute. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to something else now. Where do you want to go next? Because you've had dozens and dozens of cases.
The reason I left off the last show with Jeanette with this was because I wanted to.
I can't hear her.
Now we can't
hear
you again. I'm not sure what's going on. Do you have headphones, TJ, that you can put on?
No.
That might stop all this dropout. You got to get yourself, go order them on Amazon. Get a nice set of headphones for your phone. They have all kinds of headphones.
It's because
and it'll probably stop all those myths.
Janet?
Okay. We lost Teresa. Okay.
Yeah.
She'll call back in. So go ahead.
All
Let's continue with your story.
So there's not much else to say. After the case was solved, the police called me and asked me why I didn't call them. And I said, simply, people don't listen. And simply, I'll be the 2,304th psychic that called in to tell you where her remains were. And it was really interesting. Detective Allen said to me, well, we might have listened to you because you have such a big background and your father. And I said, yeah, but they always say that and they don't do anything. I mean, I've found many a person. I have cases, they still sit in my files. They've never looked where I told them where the bodies were. I even went to Virginia Beach area, well, actually Williamsburg, York County, I guess, and told them there are some bodies over in a certain area. The FBI was there. They never looked. They stood there and said, what are you doing here, and why are you looking here? And I said, you can't smell those dead bodies? And they go, nope. And I said, okay, and
wow.
I gave up. I walked away. I was like, why should I keep helping when they're not going to take the next step. And then you have cases where, and I'll just give you a prime example. I got a call last year, and a psychic, I guess she was from Arizona, who had a decent reputation, was flown to New England. They paid her like $30,000 to locate, I believe it was, I'll recall her name in a minute. But anyway, it was a case I'd always wanted to do because I had always thought, you know what, I bet she's right there. the media paid her, the psychic out of Arizona, $30,000 to fly to New England, pinpoint where the remains were, and she never did it. She never found them. She did go to New England from Arizona, and she did not find the remains. And I'm not saying she, you can be successful one minute, the next minute you fail. You don't know why, but it is what it is. Or you can't pick up anything at all. But what happened is, like, within a week, they call me and say, we heard about you. We'd like you to work on our case. We have no money. We'd like you to come up here, but you'll have to pay your own way. You'll have to pay for it. I mean, I thought to myself, what? You want to pay about $10,000 to stay in New England. So I have to fly up there, pay for it myself, pay for my own food, and find this young woman. And are you going to look? No, you're not going to look. Because I already told you one time where she is. It's ridiculous. It's so, you know, I just had a call, 6 calls this year. Can you work on the case for free? Can you come here? I mean, somebody has called me this year. Hey, can you work on our buried treasure case this year? And, you know, it's going to be for some celebrities, but we can't afford to pay you, but we're being paid by them. And we need you to come on up here, find the treasure, and then we'll pay you. And, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, no. It's just an ongoing saga of basically saying I don't respect you, but I need you to fulfill the solution. And it's a saga. On several cases I did do, people didn't know that I was the psychic on the case because I didn't think it was a big deal. And then I get a phone call a couple years ago from someone, and they said, oh, I'd like to interview you for an article. And I said, sure. Well, the next thing you know, she sets me up with an agent, and she sets me up with the right people, and I get offered a book deal, and I have to turn in the proposal, and if everything goes well, I get a book deal. But during this process, and it's not about the case against me, it's not about true crime or homicide, it's about other things, and it's well worth my time because it's something I enjoy, but on true crime, you have a 50-50 shot on solving a case. You can be totally correct on the information, just like Teresa, and then all of a sudden they just don't put out the effort. It could be they don't want the psychic to solve the case. I mean, you don't see a lot of material out there about, oh, Jeanette solved the case, you know. Nancy Grace was kind enough to say, yes, Jeanette did it. She pinpointed the location. And I did appreciate that. I've been interviewed on other casework by NBC, and that has gone very well. I've had other people call me for casework, but it's still that 50% of the road that's not finished because the detectives don't take the next step. And it's sad because, for example, I've got some casework in Tennessee, and nobody's gone to it. They don't call me back. They don't take care of it. I cannot do it from here. I'm not paying my way to get there. I'm not going to pay for my food. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And you know what? Right now, COVID's going on, so everything could be done remotely with the right people.
Right.
Not getting
this book deal that you're getting, is it going to be your cases or is it just the whole field in general? Is it going to be a series? There's a series on CBS psychic that goes around.
I've been told not to disclose what it's about, but I'm hoping it'll be a trilogy.
Okay.
About some of my casework, but not about my true crime and not about my homicide. So I'm very excited about it, but I have to finish the proposal and I have to finish, you know, all the data they want. They request certain information. But the fact that somebody was nice enough to come forward and hook me up to the right people was just fantastic. I feel very fortunate in that sense. An actual breakthrough for me because so many people just kept being takers, and I'm done with the takers. You know, if you want me for work, you know, pay for a reading, pay for my time, pay for the expenses. And, I mean, again, you know, I get as many as 5 calls a week. Hey, do you want to do this and this and this? And they don't want to pay. I mean, I have people calling me. It's hilarious. Oh, could you, I'm going to send you my name and my photo, and I'm going to send you information to help you help me. And I said, okay, and how am I going to help you if you don't pay me? Well, you're going to help me to help you to, I'll get a job and then I'll pay you. It's hilarious. It's like making a cake that has nothing to put, the milk's not there. The egg's not there.
Right.
You just have the flour, the mix. It doesn't work. So it's been a long time coming where I'm finally going to do the book. I mean, I've been talking about it for years, but now that somebody says this is the material we want, because this is what's going to sell, it's certainly going to pay me back for all the times when I paid for everybody else's casework.
So well, I'm happy I'm for you. I'm excited for you. So when do you think this might happen? Is it going to be in 2021? Is it going to be early or mid or late in the year?
I don't know. You know, I'm pretty much in a position of my life where I'm trying to move out of Richmond, and as soon as my house sells, I'll move up toward D.C., and then I can dive in. But the move has taken precedence over the proposal, and rightfully so, because this is my daily life. And as soon as that's done, once the move has taken place, I can dive into the computer and get it done really quickly. So I'm sort of on the pending list of hurry up and wait to move and hurry up and wait to get things done. But I'm excited about things and what 2021 is going to bring me. And what I think this is going to be, 2021 is going to be a wild ride. I mean, I really do. Instead of you like water skiing and you jump up and down on the water, it's going to be really hectic.
Is that for you individually or for the planet? Is this a personal or a global thing that you're getting? The whole planet?
I'm saying global. I mean, I think that water's going to be a problem. I think that flooding's going to be a problem. I think people are going to be over-emotional. I think more deaths are coming. I think the tragedy with COVID is not over with. They're giving the impression, the government gives the impression, or the representatives of the government gives the impression, oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. We've got this wonderful vaccine coming. I don't agree. I just don't agree. I mean,
what do you think is going to happen with the vaccine? Do you think the Pfizer one is the first one they did? Yesterday they had several 90-year-olds, 90-year-olds. In the UK for the first to show up and volunteer. Do you think, now it's a two-shot deal, do you think that they're going to have any side effects, or is it going to work? What's your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to work. I think we got 3 more years of COVID. I don't think we're there yet. I just think that it's...
And that's what I'm getting. I'm getting that it's a long haul. And this is like a population calling for the planet. You know, somebody's worried about overpopulation, but I think in the end this is going to, you know, well, we already have, what was the stat? More people have died than in World War II or something. I don't know. It's getting there. It's going to get there. I have to look at the stats. I don't quote me.
Well, I saw something weird going on in India. They're having some terrible times, where a large amount of people are falling ill and dying. And it's not COVID, but my bet is that because they don't have an infrastructure to protect the humans from all their personal waste or chemical waste, or they don't, when there's a town, for example, that I saw in a documentary that their waste and the chemical waste was all combining into one particular lake, and all the bacteria was airborne. And I thought, oh my God, they don't have our environmental rules and regulations or boundaries. they just throw it in there. So if they have a bunch of people die, they just chalk it off to, oh, my gosh, you know. But they are brilliant
right.
people. They really are brilliant people.
Yeah.
They really solved this. So
well,
maybe
we've got to figure it out because it's kind of like those zombie apocalypse movies and series that you've seen that were, you know, it's very serious. And I kind of get angry when people don't take this seriously. It's like, no, we've had pandemics. We've had diseases since, you know, the humanity was invented, so to speak. And so we need
right.
to pay attention and not, it's like they invalidate people and they've lost their family members, you know, they've lost their friends. And so, I guess people don't believe it until it's their immediate family. But by this point, like I said, everybody knows, by this time in 6 months, everybody's going to know somebody personally that has perished. Now we're starting to know people, you know, we know the actors, we know this and that, right? But it's going to be on a more personal level. I don't, you know, this is not how I envision me ending my old age in this zombie apocalypse, but here we are, so it's very sad. We were going to do some predictions, but I guess TJ's not going to make it back. So I think we could wrap it up, and then we can always plan another. I think next time we're going to have to use her Skype. We were on a show on her Skype yesterday, and she did not fall off like this, so her phones do not work. I don't know what's going on with her phones, but they do not work. We're having fun. We haven't dropped our commitment. So something there, she's got 5G and I don't. So there you go. Anyway,
is it
any last words to our, pardon? Go
to ahead. To your listeners? No, just, well, yes, I guess I would. I would say if you want to get a real reading, the psychics out there, check them out. See if they're good. Don't just select the first one. Check them out and see if they have a good reputation.
Do you see private clients? Do you see clients that like to do readings?
I do offer readings. I do, but I'm
okay.
Old
and
so
your website?
Our website is
go ahead.
Jeanette, R-E-A-C-H. Reach Jeanette, G-I-N-E-T-T-E .com. So R-E-A-C-H, Jeanette, G-I-N-E-T-T-E .com. And they can also call me at home, you know, which is this number is my public and private, because I have a pretty quiet life. 571 is the area code, 358-1444. 571-358-1444. And yeah, you're interested in the consultation, give me a call. I'm not too expensive.
I recommend Jeanette. Yeah, I recommend you. I'm psychic, but I don't do that type of thing. I do psychotherapy and, you know, counseling and coaching, but I've never been comfortable to try to do anything with for a client because I'm not that accurate. I do have ghosts come to me when they die. That's about it. And I've learned to cope with that. But anyway, you have a finely tuned skill and you learned from your father. But go ahead. What was your question?
Yeah, I think ghosts come to you because they probably like you. So enjoy while you can. And coping is a good word because it can be disturbing, I'm sure. So.
Oh, I am so honored that they come to me, and yet at the point I had some that were annoying and they wouldn't let me sleep. So I asked my husband, who is a therapist who's worked with the discarnated people, and he taught me how to put up a boundary. And just like humans, like some humans, they don't pay either, right? And it's like, wait, you're not leaving me any time to sleep. So, and I have to sleep because I have a waking life as well as they often come at night. And then sometimes I would wake up and I'm hoping it was a dream, and there they are sitting on the foot of the bed. And I go, oh, I'm not dreaming. It's real. But they can, you know, if you have someone died and you want to reach them, you can, reach out to them in your thoughts before you fall asleep. And if you get okay with them coming to talk to you, they can. You know, people are always getting contact with their deceased relatives.
A lot of people are unsure.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people are unsure how to take the approach to talk to their loved ones. And there is a way, but other times I think people do have the fear factor going on. And because of the fear factor, they just don't want to move forward. They'd rather use a psychic or someone like you. So,
well, I haven't hung up my shingles, so call Jeanette and schedule with her. Because I'm not doing it for people, but you are doing it, and I think TJ can do it. I don't think I could, you know, bring in Uncle Joe or whatever, right, like that. I don't think I could do that. But I really admire that you can, and Teresa can, and I'm just hit or miss psychic. Well, once again, it's been a wonderful opportunity and good time talking to you. I appreciate you. And I'm going to call this a day, and then we'll try to get you back another time with maybe a psychic panel, if you know anybody else that you want to, and we could have like four of us talking about this phenomenon if you want. But let's just call it a day for today. So make sure you reach Jeanette. RACHGINETTE.com.
Well, thank you for having me, Janet, and you have a nice night. All right?
Thank you. Blessings to you. Aloha. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.